Say you're on vacation. You meet people from out of town. They find out you're from Kansas City. It's not uncommon for these friendly out-of-towners to brag about knowing that Kansas City is actually in Missouri. Maybe they've heard that the city is in Missouri and Kansas is where the suburbs are, and yeah, that's kind of the perception around here too. Except just one problem. Missouri has suburbs, and there is such a place as Kansas City, Kansas. I'm Gina Kaufman. We'll explore whether Kansas has become shorthand for suburbs on Central Standard after this news. Riley Kettering is 10 cars deep in the drive-thru line at the Starbucks at 135th and Row. Producer Laura Ziegler headed out to Leawood trying to find out if people felt a sense of community there in the drive-thru line. She knocked on Riley's window.
Yeah, I think Starbucks is a community. I mean, I come and sit here every single day in the line for like 10 minutes, so yeah, for sure.
Is it kind of people sort of community, or is it, here, I'll walk with you. Is it community you feel with other people, or do you feel sort of isolated and in community in isolation?
In community in isolation. I mean, it's not like a bunch of strangers come and talk to each other at Starbucks. Like, it's just...
It doesn't matter that you don't really know the people or the people.
Not at all.
It's just kind of you're all here together doing the same thing.
Yeah, just getting coffee in the morning.
This isn't my normal stop, but normally when I come to Starbucks, yes, at my regular one, I would say that there's a sense of community because I know the barista's names. Even my dog recognizes Starbucks as part of his community and gets excited, so.
How often do you go there?
We're usually at ours 3 or 4 times a week.
Do you hang out there?
Normally, I schedule meetings and have appointments at Starbucks. I think community's changing around us and evolving all the time because technology and everything makes life simpler, but it also just changes the way we interact with things. So waiting in a line has probably always been there, but I'm waiting because there's somebody at the window I'll know and I'll be able to say hi to this morning, and, you know, even if it's just that one person.
That was Don Heckert speaking to KCUR's Laura Ziegler. The meaning of community is different from one place to another. In the suburbs, where people spend a lot of time in their cars or their houses, it's easy for outsiders to come to the quick conclusion that people are isolated, that there's no sense of community. But if you listen to those coffee-drinking regulars in line at the Starbucks drive-thru, the story's a lot more complicated than that. I'm Gina Kaufman. Today on Central Standard, we're looking at the assumptions people make about communities. Specifically, we're looking at the perception that the Kansas side of the state line is totally suburban, and that the Missouri side is where the real city is. Call 816-235-2888 to join the conversation. Do you use the word Kansas as shorthand for suburbs? Call us up. Tell us why you think the urban-suburban divide matters and what the state line either does or doesn't have to do with it. The number again, 816-235-2888. Here in the live studio, I'm joined by a couple of guests. First, I'd like to introduce Overland Park resident Bill Coldiron. We met Bill at a recent community listening session we hosted in Leawood as part of our Beyond Our Borders project, exploring the communities in our region and the lines that unite and divide them. Hi, Bill. Welcome to Central Standard.
Good morning.
We've also got a proud Kansas City, Missouri resident with us today. We met Jim Peters at a community listening session in his Volker neighborhood, right on the Missouri side of the state line off of 39th Street. Hi, Jim.
How you doing, Gina?
Great. How about you?
Oh, good.
So, Bill, let's start with you. When you're out there in the world and you tell people you're from Kansas, what do they tend to think? How do they react?
Well, initially, when I tell them I'm from Kansas, they say, are you anywhere close to Kansas City? I'm a native Kansan. I grew up in southeast Kansas, and I've been around Kansas City probably off and on since right after World War II. But I try to point out that on the Kansas side, there is Kansas City, Kansas, which is Wyandotte County, and Johnson County, and I happen to live in Johnson County. I'm a very proud resident of Johnson County. I've lived here since 1961. I moved into Overland Park when Overland Park was a city of 9,000.
9,000, yeah, that's different from today.
Yes, it is. And I was a teacher. And during the summer, I worked for the city of Overland Park. Believe it or not, I patched a lot of the streets that you drive on today at Overland Park. I was on the crew that laid asphalt. But I also got to know the city well. I knew the boundaries where the other cities were. The city pretty well stopped at 87th Street when I moved up here. So I've seen a lot of growth, a lot of things take place.
Do you say you're from Kansas City or do you say you're from Overland Park?
I say I'm from Overland Park. I was fortunate enough to spend, 8 years in the United States Navy, and at that time, I hadn't moved to Overland Park yet. So I was proud to be a Kansan, and I've always been a Kansan, and, I always will be a Kansan, and I'm proud of the state. And I've seen it change a lot, especially in the last few years, and the same way Kansas City has changed, and especially Johnson County.
Well, when you're talking to people from Kansas City, Missouri, and you tell them you're from Overland Park, how do they react?
Well, generally speaking, I'm a pretty outgoing person. I like to talk with people. I like to find out where they're from and see what we have in common. But I always have a sense that probably they look at me as being, oh, you're one of those.
What do you mean by that? One of those
what? Well, I always felt there was a sense that you maybe think you're a little bit a cut or a notch above others. You have a nicer car. You have a nicer home. And that, you feel that, you have got it made, so to speak.
So they think that being from the Kansas suburbs of Kansas City means, like, that you think you've got it made.
Somewhat, yes. And I realize that that's not the nature of most people. But sometimes you can read people by body language. And often that's what I see. And don't get me wrong, I have a tremendous amount of friends, who live in Missouri. I've always lived in Missouri. I have two grandsons that are graduates of the University of Missouri, so I can't hold that against them either.
You're not reigniting the border wars.
No, yet. I'm not.
But do you feel self-conscious about the way that you see people respond to you or the way you interpret people as responding to you?
Yes, I do. I become somewhat defensive because I like to say, wait a minute, these are the things we're doing. We have a tremendous program. We have an outreach program in our church that touches the lives of literally millions of people. And so we have a lot to offer. And, I want to get that message out.
Do you think there is any truth in the stereotype, or do you think the story is just too complicated to whittle down that way?
No, I think there's truth in that. I really do. Over the years I've seen it. I would love to see it whittle down. I'd like to see us be one big community. But I do believe that there is a stereotype.
Well, I want to get Jim, our Kansas City, Missouri guy, in on this. Jim, when you're hanging out with your Volker neighbors and someone mentions Kansas, what kinds of conversations usually go hand in hand with that?
Well, I think it has to be defined, first of all, if it's Wyandotte County, Johnson County, or Lawrence. It makes a difference.
You don't hear just Kansas as shorthand?
Not necessarily. Of course, we're right on the border, so it makes a difference, I think, because we're aware of the differences in Kansas. It's a diverse place with all kinds of communities. I will say what we were talking about when people say Johnson County, I think a lot of people in the city think of it as beige and bland and homogeneous and kind of boring. And, that's kind of an uppity attitude, but a lot of people feel that way. And I agree. We should look at ourselves as one big metro and not try to divide each other.
Do you think of living within the Kansas City, Missouri city limits as almost a position some people take when it comes to the suburban expansion happening in every direction as the metro grows?
I kind of think they do, yeah. And it's kind of interesting, too. Many times, young people from Johnson County will move to the city. They, were raised there and so on. And they're young professionals, and it's a big deal with them. They just tell me how they love it, and it's like, now you're hip, But
or like relieved of something that they felt constrained by in their upbringing.
I think so, yeah. And it's, it's very interesting because we have quite a few people that in our neighborhood that are like that.
It seems like a lot of the emotions surrounding how people feel about suburbanization, either environmentally or socially, just in whatever sense, gets directed at Kansas and at the people who live there. Would you say that there's something deeper that would be a more productive way of thinking about that subject?
Yeah, I think so. Well, first of all, it's kind of interesting. Let's just take Lee's Summit. You don't hear, basically, the Summit is very much like Johnson County, but you don't hear that brought up. And so it's kind of an unfair comparison there. I imagine.
You don't hear people saying that's so Lee's Summit?
No, I don't. I don't.
I've never heard that either.
But they're very much alike. I bet statistically and in most ways, they're very much alike. So, you know, people are different. I will say that. And it's because people are provincial. Everybody where they live kind of gets into their own space. And it kind of divides us. But that kind of is human nature also.
Let's back up. I want to ask you the same question I asked Bill just a minute ago. When you tell people in Kansas that you live in Kansas City, Missouri, how do they typically react? Do you have a sense of how they view your community?
Well, I think a few people do, like, you know, ask, well, you know, isn't it dangerous to live in Kansas City, Missouri, and so on. There is some of that I pick up on. But generally, I think it's pretty positive. Maybe I'm just too laid back to not worry about it. But I don't get much, no.
Bill, do you think that is a pretty accurate representation of how people in Kansas view what it's like to live in Kansas City, Missouri, that there might be an element of danger?
Oh, to a certain extent. I don't think everybody feels that way because, you know, they realize that we have the same kind of problems, except it seems like it's magnified more so when it happens, you know, whether it's a shooting, whether it's a robbery, whether it's a break-in. But for the most part, I think there's a part of the city that a lot of people are uncomfortable to drive in or go in.
What do you think that's about?
Oh, I think it's the fact that we get a lot, you know, the sensational type things that are in the newspaper. The media has a lot to do with it because, you know, they run stories on the murder rate of Kansas City compared to other places. And that's a bad rap that all of the city gets for a certain zip code of the city.
How do you think Kansas City, Kansas fits into people's understanding of what the state line means? And if there's this habit of viewing Kansas as suburban and Missouri as the city, however you feel about either of these things, what about Kansas City, Kansas?
Well, I think with the recent growth of the legends, I think that is changing. But up till then, most of the time, I think Kansas City, Kansas has kind of been looked on as the orphan. You don't hear much about it, really. I lived in Kansas City, Kansas when I first moved up here, and I didn't know the difference at all, and I didn't see any difference.
Central Standard is going to take a quick break. When we return, we'll hear from urban planning and design guru Daniel Serta to get his thoughts on the urban-suburban Kansas-Missouri divide. We want to hear from you, too. 816-235-2888. More to come in just a few. Stay with us. And we're back. I'm Gina Kaufman, and this edition of Central Standard is part of KCUR's Beyond Our Borders project, exploring the lines that unite and divide our metro. The current focus, State Line Road, an abstract political boundary and at the same time, just a street. Call 816-235-2888 to confess how you perceive the difference between the Kansas side and the Missouri side of that street. Do you use Kansas as shorthand for the suburbs? We want to know. 816-235-2888 is the number to call. We especially want to hear from residents of Missouri suburbs. We've been hearing from Overland Park resident Bill Coldiron and Volcker resident Jim Peters. Now we're joined by an urban design expert from Insight who can help us sort some of this out. Daniel Serta, welcome to Central Standard.
Good morning.
We've been hearing that there's a lot of self-consciousness on either side of the state line about this subject of how we view each other. But how does the history and design of our greater metropolitan area contribute to those perceptions? Are decisions we've made as a city responsible for, to some degree, either deliberately or as an unintended outcome?
Well, I think so. I think you have to look at both the combination of sort of popular culture and the way we've thought about Kansas as a place, the political history of the state of Kansas over the last century, and especially the economic evolution of the Kansas City metropolitan area. You know, about 20 years ago, I was doing research on the early industrialization of the region. What's really so interesting about that history back in the late 19th century is that I think there's a fair argument that could be made that the urban, the industrial, was basically very essential to the growth of the rural. And what I mean by that is if you look at Kansas City and its development, the city was here first before there was sort of the vast expanse of the prairie. You know, back before the Civil War, Kansas didn't even exist, right? It was Kansas coming into its own as a territory that led in part to the Civil War.
And when you say the city was here first, do you mean the city on the Missouri side?
I mean the city on the Missouri side. And that very quickly, you know, changed after the Civil War, where you had the city on the Kansas side as well, which confused things a little bit. But
it does.
But the point I was making is that the industrial development of the area, really the underpinnings of the regional economy, have to do with technology, with the railroads, with the development of that transportation technology, and Kansas City's growth as a distribution center. And, you know, what was it that we were growing, we were making, and we were distributing? It was all of the agricultural products. But the agricultural products weren't just there. The expansion of the agricultural economy itself was facilitated by everything from the railroads to the kinds of tools and implements, the tractors that were being manufactured in Kansas City.
It's so interesting that you bring up agriculture, because the fact that rural, in this conversation, it's all about suburbs and urbs, I guess, and that the rural dynamic isn't part of the conversation, whereas even a generation ago, some of the very suburbs we're talking about, that was farmland.
Absolutely. It's in the background, though. It's absolutely in the background, because if you think about you know, the name of a place like Prairie Village, where's the notion of prairie come from, right? Why are we so enamored with the idea of a prairie? Why is prairie, I hate to say it this way, but why would it be a good marketing angle for the development of a new community? Well, it suggests something about something rural, bucolic,
pastoral.
Green, pastoral, beautiful, calm, peaceful, which is a very strong and striking contrast to gritty and urban and dense and industrial.
What is the definition of a suburb?
Oh, that's a great question. We could debate that for a long time.
Let's take
it literally, it's something less than a city, right? It's some sort of an established settlement on the outskirts or beneath that.
So if you're just looking at like the prefix sub.
Yeah, of course. But I think the reality is the way we tend to use that term, both academically and professionally, it refers to a place that is somewhat subordinate but part of a larger regional economy. I mean, you wouldn't talk about a small town in the middle of central Kansas as a suburb unless it's attached to a larger area. It's interesting. There are small towns like that on the orbit of larger cities like Wichita, places like Derby that have become suburbs, even though they were small country towns. Olathe here is a small country town that became a suburb.
So suburbs aren't defined by things like density or retail versus residential or things like that?
Well, they are to a certain degree, but fundamentally the relationship has to do with their being part of a larger integrated economic unit, right? The idea that, you know, they really don't stand alone by themselves. I mean, why do we call them suburban? Why do we call them bedroom communities? Because people are going there to sleep after they, you know, purportedly worked in the city, right? I mean, there's always been that sense of a dynamic of people integrated into a larger regional economy. I mean, the word suburb by itself doesn't have a whole lot of meaning unless you attach it to the idea of city, right, as a contrast.
What's interesting to me is that I feel like Kansas City has its own understanding of what a suburb is that maybe other mid-sized Midwestern cities share. But by contrast with a place like New York, I mean, I think someplace sure. like Brookside, mm-hmm. in a really dense metropolitan area, people would consider that probably a suburb, a place that looks like this. Mm-hmm. It's full of single-family homes separated by lawns. But a lot of Brookside residents see themselves as staunchly urban, whereas Prairie Village, a similarly designed community on the other side of the state line, no one's calling that urban.
Sure. I think there's a couple realities that you're seeing reflected there. One is, I've said this before, I think there's a fair argument made that a lot of residential Kansas City, Missouri, as well as Kansas City, Kansas, places that we tend to call urban, are actually vintage suburbs of another era. Brookside is a great example of that. It started really in the 1920s with the development of the Country Club District, and it was very much a suburban enclave. It was out on the extreme physical limits of the city. It's become encompassed by an area that is not only more densely populated, the homes, because they're not only older but on smaller lots, they tend to be a little more dense and compact, but it's also surrounded by an area of much greater racial and economic diversity than is true of parts of Prairie Village, for example. So you've got physical differences, you've got social differences, you've got economic differences. Is it more this shade of gray or that shade of gray, right? It depends on your vantage point. And I think that's why you see both of those perspectives being offered, that it's both a suburban and an urban neighborhood at the same time.
Let's talk to Jim at Midtown. He called 816-235-2888 to answer our question. We are looking for confessions about how you perceive the other side of the state line or the other side of the urban-rural divide, or excuse me, urban-suburban. We'll talk to Jim in Midtown now. Hi, Jim.
Hi. This is tangential to your topic, but it's an irritant of mine that is closely related. I'm irritated with people from Johnson County who insist on calling themselves Kansas Cityans, despite the fact that they don't pay taxes when asked to support the stadiums. And they seldom come into the city except to go to a sporting event because they're afraid of seeing people who are different than they are. I think that's one of the reasons anyway. The fear of crime may be another, but it's much overblown.
So you don't think this could be just a lifestyle preference or like a just where they like to be?
My problem is when they call themselves Kansas Cityans.
Oh, okay.
And they're from Kansas, and they don't support Kansas City when asked to.
Well, this...
And they want to identify with the chicness of the city, but they don't want to pay for it, and they want to live in their, in Johnson County's case, is a beige and bland community.
Well, let's hear about this from our panel here. I first want to address that Jim has brought up an economic distinction, and Daniel, you were just talking about the economic underpinnings of the difference between the city and the suburbs and the relationship between the two.
Sure.
Does the state line complicate that in our city?
Well, it does and it doesn't. I mean, there is a very high level, because we're a metropolitan region, of economic integration. That's what defines that whole idea, is that people are moving back and forth across the state line.
But there's that tax divide.
There is that tax divide. And, probably the most pointed part of that locally is the fact that Kansas City, Missouri has an earnings tax. If you read the blog comments on articles, invariably somebody's railing about that 1%, they're just trying to dig further into your pockets, and I will never live there because of that. I mean, at a certain level, that's neither here nor there, because the reality is people do live there. I've worked in Kansas City, Missouri. I've paid the 1% earnings tax. You end up having to factor for it in different parts of your tax returns. But, how much direct meaning does it really have? I suspect that the 1% argument about that earnings tax is probably about more fundamental issues.
This economic relationship also seems complicated by the fact that so much of our economy is shifting toward a non-geographical place of the internet.
Sure. But the corollary to that is the argument has been made going back 20 years now with the rise of the internet, that the internet's not, it's going to make geography less meaningful. I mean, I just find it so interesting. We have something called the Kansas City Startup Village, which is right on State Line Road. And there are elements of that on both sides of the state line. We happen to have captured some of those businesses initially in Kansas City, Kansas, on the Wyandotte County side of that state line, because we had Google Fiber service first. I mean, there's this kind of historical accident to it in terms of how it develops. But clearly, I mean, we're a very mobile society. We move back and forth. I think people's locational choices, though, particularly about where they live, are made on the basis of much larger issues than just what the particular tax rate is.
You know, Bill, as our Johnson County resident here, I want to let you respond to some of the claims Jim has made about why, first of all, how people from Johnson County or from the Kansas suburbs view Kansas City, Missouri, and whether they do or don't go there, and why or why not.
Well, I'm one of these people who do go to Kansas City, Missouri a lot. Needless to say, a lot of it is for their cultural advantages. I belong to the Lyric Opera. We belong to the Kansas City Symphony. We participate in the cultural activities at UMKC. I am not opposed to paying a tax. I was glad that at least we did get some Johnson County people to pay for the bi-state tax of Union Station. And I would be... I realize how important these things are to the community. And, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to paying those types of taxes. You know, I was season tickets at one time with the Royals, season tickets with the Chiefs. And, of course, I did feel the people of Jackson County should have first shot at those things because they did support it. And I do feel that Greater Kansas City gets overtaxed. You know, it seems like every tax that comes along, they put it on the people who can least afford it. So I'm maybe an exception. You know, I think part of it's my background in education. And, of course, you know, again, our people, you know, the people in Johnston County have been very supportive of schools.
And you say you're from Overland Park. You don't say you're from Kansas City, but Jim was expressing frustration that a lot of people who live in suburbs outside of Kansas City, Missouri, do claim Kansas City as their home. Does it bother you to hear that distinction being made, like that it isn't your choice whether you're saying Kansas City or Overland Park?
Well, in the greater concept of things, generally more people know where Kansas City is than know where Overland Park is. And so, generally speaking, I do give a very brief geography lesson when people ask me those they ask me those questions. But again, I think the background is, you know, I grew up in Kansas, and, you know, I still live in Kansas, but I am from the metropolitan area of Kansas City.
Let's talk to Bill in Stillwell. Hi, Bill.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing? Great show.
Thanks for joining the conversation.
Yeah. Thank you. I've owned at least two businesses on the Kansas side. I started my first one when I was 28, and I always wished that my business was actually located in the Missouri side, but I'm in the technology business. I've been involved with a lot of issues on the Kansas City, Missouri side. I lived in Brookside for a long time. Both my kids were born there. But they went to school on the Kansas side, one public and one Catholic. The problem, and what I was going to say was that when I had my business, and I still have one in Kansas, I always told my employees that if you're going to bring me a problem, to bring me at least two or three solutions. So I'm going to try to do that today. The problem is that if sporting events like Kansas City Chiefs have been a season ticket holder, Royals season ticket holder, is that they're momentary and they're fleeting and they're not permanent solution. Even the NCAA, we got a big burst of people going downtown. Power and Light has done a good job of bringing people from out of state and gone from a couple of million visitors to 20 million. So my proposal is that it's not just a tax, it's also a person who can manage, be the person identified, the personality identified as the person who represents both sides of the state line.
So like a leader who unifies these two communities and their shared interests?
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to say it's David Glass or anybody like that, but somebody of that kind of stature, Lamar Hunt was still alive, or if Ewan Kaufman, I worked with Ewan Kaufman and Marion Labs. I started my company as a result of working with them. So here's the bad news for you guys. I'm moving my company to San Jose, California, because I can't get the talent that I want in Kansas City. Some of it is on the Kansas City side. I live on the border. I can literally throw a baseball from my house on Kenneth Road into Missouri, okay, on 162nd Street. My kids are wanting me to move back to the Missouri side. I'm looking at houses in the Plaza area. But the problem is that people who have kids just graduating from college, getting married, starting families, they do live in Westport. They do live in Brookside. But as the kids get older, the realtors pull them over on the Johnson County side because there's this perception that you're going to get a bad education in the Missouri side, so you got to go to Johnson County side. Well, here's the problem with Johnson County, drugs.
You know, Bill, actually, I'm glad you brought that up because tomorrow we're actually exploring this issue of how people choose where they send their children to get an education and who feels like that is even a choice to begin with, whether that determines where people live. We're going to get into all of that tomorrow, so stay tuned for that. But I want to give you guys a chance to respond to this idea about solutions or unification. Do you think, Daniel Serta, that a shared leader would accomplish that?
Well, I'm not sure if it needs to be one person, but I think there's a really important point in what the caller just said, which is that there are economic issues that we as a region have to recognize is transcending all of this. I mean, you just heard somebody say, I've had businesses here for a long time, and I'm picking up and I'm moving out of this region because there isn't the talent base here adequate to that. That's not a Missouri versus Kansas issue. I mean, we can get into the nitty-gritty of that, but that's fundamentally a regional issue. That's about attracting and retaining and educating talent. And that's something that I think as an issue of both regional cooperation, regional focus, regional attention has just come onto the radar in the last couple of years. The reality is we are losing people not just from one part of the metropolitan to the area to the other, particularly young people that are choosing to be other places where there's at least a perception, if not the reality, of greater economic opportunity. And that's a real challenge for the region.
Do you think that being a city and a region with this really stark dividing line of the state line and this sort of bifurcated city situation, do you think that contributes to this?
I don't know whether it does, but I think the point really calls attention to the fact that that's kind of inside baseball that's not going to get you anywhere in the larger competitive landscape of a national and global economy. I mean, we really have to focus collectively on moving that ball forward.
He also mentioned realtors and the sorts of pressures that it sounded like he was saying realtors exert on people regarding where they need to live for certain amenities. Do you think that plays into this Kansas-Missouri urban-suburban thing?
I think it does in some respects, but you know the reality is that's a two-way street, right? You know, you can only make a pitch if somebody's there willing to buy the pitch from you, right? And so I think that realtors and other salespeople are good at throwing people an idea of what they want. You know, if they're telling you you're going to have higher quality schools, higher quality of life, lower taxes and that kind of thing, that's going to influence somebody, particularly if they're wanting to hear and be reassured about those kinds of things.
Let's talk to Melissa in Overland Park. Hi, Melissa.
Hi there. I'm calling in response to the fellow who said people from Johnson County shouldn't call themselves Kansas Cityans. And I've got a couple of points about that. Johnson County is a terrific place to live, but we just contracted with Kansas City to run our bus system. Kansas City treats our water. We share a lot of things. I think we've got to think regionally.
So you're saying that the economies aren't that separate, actually?
Right. They're really intertwined. There's a reason there's that Metro Area Regional Council. There's a good reason for that. And I'm actually sitting in my car because I'm in downtown Overland Park. I've got a spice store, an olive oil store, a pie store. I've got all sorts of things that people think they have to drive to downtown for the quirky little stores. But really, we've got them out here, and we've got wonderful performing arts centers and all sorts of things. So,
Melissa, can I ask you something about downtown Overland Park? Because even in the name of that place, it's called Downtown Overland Park. It started as a downtown, and it feels that name has been retained. There's some importance attached to that. Do you think that Downtown Overland Park is urban?
Oh, no, it's not urban. It's, to me, there's some sense of size in the word urban. So it's just one of the small downtowns in Johnson County. But my point is, you know, we don't have to go down to the city market. We've got that here. So maybe we do come in once in a while to go to a sporting event, like personally, maybe once a year, if that. But
so are you kind of responding to the claim that people don't go into Kansas City from Johnson County because of fears about crime and things like that?
Oh, that, I don't know. That doesn't occur to me. We do go down to like Knuckleheads or something like that. That's not exactly the prettiest neighborhood, but and my family does a lot of mission work, so you know we're around people who are very different from us, and we go in specifically to do some things that are not in the nicest parts of town. That doesn't scare us. It's just that we've got poverty here. We've got everything that a city has. It's just sort of smaller and I don't know.
Thank you so much, Melissa. That was great comments. You know, we've got in the room a Kansas City, Missouri resident who we haven't heard a lot from lately. So I want to turn back to you, Jim. What are you hearing in some of these comments? Anything that surprises you or changes your perspective on things as far as this Kansas City, Missouri and its relationship to Kansas, but what a lot of people perceive as the suburbs of Kansas?
Well, I think we got a lot. A couple things. First of all, as far as the city having all the jobs the way it used to be, and we had the bedroom communities, that's changed a lot. Now then, if you get on I-35 in the morning, you have as many people going south as you do north. So you have a lot of jobs in the suburbs now. So that has changed. Also, we're talking about the earnings tax. I actually think the earnings tax is the most fair of all taxes in the metro. If you think about it, it's a flat 1% on income. Boom.
I want to get right back to this, but Central Standard is off to a break. When we get back, you'll still have a little time to share your two cents. 816-235-2888. We'll also hear from a diehard Brooklynite who surprised even herself by falling in love with Kansas City. That and more when we return. Welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman, and guests, could you reintroduce yourself? Let's start with you, Bill.
I'm Bill Coldiron. I'm from Overland Park.
I'm Jim Peters. I'm from Voker, in a neighborhood in Kansas City, Missouri.
Daniel Serta. I live in Kansas City, Kansas.
So, first of all, Jim, before we went to break, you were talking a little bit about taxes and the relationship between Kansas City, Missouri, and outlying Kansas suburbs.
Well, I was just saying I thought that the sale of the earnings tax is a very fair tax, and I think we should look at it. I do know that a lot of people in Kansas City, Missouri feel that, you know, we build the airport, we build the stadiums and so on, and Johnson County isn't throwing in its 2 cents. But they also use those things, so it wouldn't exist because of them. So you have to look at it both ways. The other thing is, we were talking about, you know, people from Kansas saying they're from Kansas City. Well, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, it's a shortcut. You know, if you say, even if I say I'm from Voker, people will say, where's that? And I'll say I'm from Westport. Well, they know where that's at. So it's just a matter of semantics.
We say things for convenience.
Right, exactly.
Well, Daniel Serta, I have a couple of questions for you before we get back to our callers. Coldwell Banker's 2012 list of 5 best suburbs in every state made some waves around here because the top 5 Kansas suburbs were all in the Kansas City area, but only one Missouri suburb, Weatherby Lake, was a Kansas City suburb. The other 4 were St. Louis suburbs. What do you make of that?
That's interesting. I mean, that might well play back into something that I think was said earlier about, you know, the Lee's Summit perspective, for example. I wasn't aware of that. I think the tricky thing there is, of course, we have our own. That's kind of a national survey looking at the national landscape. We would probably have our own arguments and, you know, favorites that people would want to list here. I'm not sure what metrics they're using to evaluate this either.
Well, you know, of course, another thing we need to address is that KCK so often gets left out of discussions like this. Does the greater metropolitan population leave out KCK at times for the sake of simplification, or is something else at work?
Oh, I think there's something much more complex at work. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, there was a history of Kansas that was written about 20 years ago that actually was sort of a middle grade textbook about the history of Kansas that didn't mention Kansas City, Kansas at all, as if though it was part of another state. The reality is Wyandotte County is in a kind of peculiar place. Is it suburban or is it urban, right? Is it a suburb of Kansas City, Missouri, or is it something else? I would argue it's an integral part of the urban economy by and large. But Bill said this earlier. He said, you know, Wyandotte County has been perceived to kind of come in its own in the last 10 or 15 years because of the development of, you know, the Legends and the Speedway, all of which, you know, if you're there, is a very suburban type of physical environment, right? And so it's kind of interesting that, you know, we talk about KCK coming into its own when it became a little more suburban. Although I can tell you, living there, a lot of Kansas City, Kansas is fairly suburban in character. But again, it's core, it's industrial, it goes back to that early history, it's got railroads, it's got heavy industry. Because of that, it has a lot more social and racial diversity because of the characteristics of the people that lived and settled there, which is a big part of what accounts for that difference. And I always remember there was a quote from a book that was written back in the 1950s about the Kansas City metropolitan area where someone said, you know, we folks in Kansas City, Missouri tend to think about Kansas City, Kansas like people in New York City probably think about a place like Brooklyn.
Yeah. Well, let's talk to Steve in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you. The only thing I have to say is I was concerned about people forgetting their own history. This used to be called Greater Kansas City. Part of it had to do with the fact that as it was the suburban bedroom communities all around Greater Kansas City for people to have jobs inside Kansas City, Missouri. But the politics involved got crazy. I grew up at 29th and Highland in my first 5 years of my life and moved out to Hickman Mills when I was 5 years old. Hickman Mills later became absorbed by Kansas City, Missouri. I never saw any white people there. In fact, there was a school district vote.
You never saw any white people where? I'm sorry. Where are you?
In Hickman Mills. Okay. Hickman Mills. Oh, yeah. 29th and Highland has Truce Lake. But that was a perfectly integrated neighborhood. Jews, Germans, blacks, Hispanics, Mexicans, Mexican-Americans. And I never really saw anybody of color at that point in my life, in 1955, that lived in Hickman Mills. And it was really strange as a little kid to face this big, big forest of trees and wide spread out housing. And I wondered how other people felt. I thought the politics involved Democrats, Republicans. It was always Kansas was Republican. Missouri was always Democratic. And it seemed that also with the real estate agents later in life as I moved into 4963 in the 70s,
4963, that's between
Neighborhood
40,
Coalition. Yeah. 49th to 63rd from Paseo all the way over to Oak. I moved into that neighborhood deliberately so that I could reintegrate my own life in my 20s. And I just thought it was interesting that people forget all about their own histories and how they grew up and the people around them, and they build up their own little barriers like I did as a little kid.
Well, let's talk
to... And the politics involved impacted everything that I did as a little kid, just like the schools. And Judge Clark said that was the biggest mistake of his career when he did not include both sides of the state line in the Kansas City desegregation lawsuit.
Let's get some feedback from our guests on this. First of all, Daniel Serta, do you have any response to what we've just heard from Steve, which sounds like... really a very emotional look back on how he's seen these questions change in relation to politics and race.
Yeah, I think one of the things you have to absolutely acknowledge is before 1964, the Civil Rights Act and the fair housing laws, that the social pattern that you saw was both kind of custom and practice, but it was also reinforced by laws and by attitudes that were very deeply ingrained, and obviously you had very deliberate steering of people. And then things have broken down somewhat since then. But it's interesting because the pattern of diversity has changed. Right, there are areas that he's describing the area around Truce Lake as being very mixed and very diverse. And it's diverse in the sense that it's more one racial group than another now. So you have to look at the pattern and the history in different places. I think that clearly is a legacy that carries forward. It doesn't shape everything that's going on today, but it's something that I do agree with them. You have to size up the history and take stock of it and understand some of what accounts for the current condition.
Let's talk to Allison. We've got Allison on the line from Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Allison.
Hi. So I live in Kansas City, Missouri, in the Westport area, and I actually grew up in Leawood until I was about 21, and I'm 24 now. But what I've realized is that I have to, as a now Kansas City resident, I have to defend myself being from Johnson County because there's so much animosity from Kansas City people towards Johnson County residents. There's almost like a hatred involved. And
what do you think that's about?
I don't want to, I'm sure it has to do with privilege in some way, and that's a much bigger issue, obviously, but it's an interesting dichotomy, and I think that it relates a lot to, when I say I'm from Kansas City, people say, oh, no, you're not, you're from Kansas, you're from Leawood, that's a different thing, you can't relate to us, you can't recognize with us, because you grew up completely different than how someone, say, on 39th and Highland grew up.
Even though you live in Kansas City, Missouri now, you still aren't being given permission to say you live in Kansas City?
Exactly, because it's It's just different. They don't, you know, even people that live in Lee Summit that now live in Kansas City, they can, you know, they acknowledge, you know, the Kansas City residents, but not on the Kansas side. It's a very strict dividing line. I don't know if it's a generational thing. It might just be because I'm young and that's how we feel. But to say that we're not all, you know, Kansas City residents is kind of crazy because we are so related. We've got so many different things that cross those state lines, sports teams, you know, entertainment, all that stuff. And to say I can't say that I'm from Kansas City is just silly, in my opinion.
Allison, do you hear any truth in the idea that people use Kansas as a shorthand for talking about suburbs and however they feel about the suburbs?
Yeah, I would say that they kind of lump it all together, and it's all very generalized. You're either from Kansas or you're from Kansas City, and that can mean so many different things, and depending upon the specifics, it really changes what you're actually trying to say. So lumping it together can actually be not beneficial to you.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Allison.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Well, we're going to have to wrap up this conversation. I wonder, Jim Peters, living in Kansas City and Volker, any quick response to what she said?
Well, it makes me sad that she feels that way. I think everybody's welcome. I know in our neighborhood, we love to have everybody come in, and we welcome into our neighborhood association, and we think they're Kansas City, and if they have that address, they're a Kansas Cityan.
Well, Daniel Serta of Insight, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you. I appreciate being here.
Bill Coldiron of Overland Park, thanks for joining us and representing Kansas.
Thank you very much.
And Jim Peters, we've appreciated your Missouri point of view.
You're welcome.
You can participate in our ongoing state line conversations at kcur.org. Just click the Beyond Our Borders tab. Shell O'Reilly is what you might call a Kansas City superfan. She even wears a necklace with a Missouri-shaped pendant and a heart marks where Kansas City is. But KC Pride is totally new to O'Reilly. She's from the East Coast originally, and until recently, she was living happily in Brooklyn with zero intention of leaving. She happened to have friends in Kansas City, though, and came to visit them like 3 years ago. That trip completely changed her life.
People were like, you love it here, you love it here, you're gonna move here. And I was like, shut up, no, you'll pry Brooklyn from my cold, dead hands. As it turns out that by like the fourth day of being here, my final day of being here, I was kind of like, wow, I really do like it here, but I'm still going back to New York City. Like, I still love New York City. And to this day, I still do. It's got a very warm place in my heart, and I still can't stop wearing all black all the time. So, like, there's still New Yorker in me. But when my fourth day here, I was literally getting in the car to go to the airport. And a friend of mine said, hey, so when are you going to move here for like the umpteenth time? And I said, I don't know, if somebody offers me a job. And I got offered a job, boom, right on the spot. And so so I was like, wait, what? I have a job? Okay. And I knew a friend who had a room open. And I made more friends while I was here. So I literally was like, okay, I've got friends. I've got a place to stay. I've got a job. I guess I'm going to Kansas City. Instead of having to feel scrappy and pulling yourself up by your bootstraps all the time and just barely making it by on your rent and all that, it was like, oh no, you can plan for your future. You can have a future. You can think about things like buying a house or having kids or all those things that New Yorkers put off by 10 years or more. Suddenly, like, Kansas City is a place where I could have a family or I could have, you know, a relationship or I could, you know, like, I could have time for something. I hadn't known before Kansas City that I could still be reaching and dreaming and trying and still have roots. So I came to Kansas City and I was like, oh, I'm going to put down roots and I'm still going to pursue writing better and working harder and pursuing all sorts of interests. Kansas City has become a place where I feel so comfortable to put down roots that I actually even just bought a house here. I thought that Room to Think was a metaphor or something. And then I came to Kansas City and found out that Room to Think is a physical thing, too, that you really do have more space for more ideas when you have more physical space. And it's an awesome, awesome feeling. To Suzanne Hogan for bringing us that story. It's part of our Going to Kansas City series about why people come to Kansas City and why they stay. That's all the time we have for today's conversations. It's been a pleasure talking with all our guests and callers this morning. Tomorrow, tune in to discuss how Kansas City parents make decisions about where to send their kids to school. Is that also a decision about where to live? And is it always a decision? We'll explore that and more tomorrow at 10. Join the conversation. Central Standard is produced by Sylvia Maria Gross and Matthew Long Middleton. Laura Ziegler brought us the voices from the Starbucks drive-thru at the beginning of today's show. I'm Gina Kaufman, and that's it for today. Stick around for Up to Date, coming right up around the corner at 11.